Hey, this show is entirely listener supported. That's you. You're a listener. If you want to support the show and find out how to get bonus content and early episodes and monthly video hangouts with me and Jeff, you can head to patreon.com/wehaveconcerns. I feel like Maz Kanata, like they had to know. Like they had to know.
You'd like to think so.
They're just big, like Brazilian music fans.
Yeah.
They just love samba. This is We Have Concerns. Hi, Jeff Kanata.
Hi, Anthony Carboni.
Hello, concerned citizens.
Hey, we talk a lot about animal intelligence.
But there's nothing funny about animal intelligence.
No. It's serious. It's serious business. It's certainly serious business for Melody Jackson, a computer scientist at Georgia Tech. This is a story that was sent to us by Caroline Nelson. She sent it to wehaveconcernshow@gmail.com. She could have also used our subreddit, wehaveconcerns.reddit.com. This is a story about Melody Jackson, computer scientist at Georgia Tech, who, along with her team, has been trying to devise a way for dogs and other animals to use some of that intelligence to communicate with us.
Okay.
And specifically,
like a brain implant that's going to allow, connected to a speaker that will allow the dog to speak.
What you hope for is like in Up, right?
Yeah.
Is the guy, the dog from Up. Squirrel!
Doug.
That dog.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Doug.
Yeah, Doug, right. That's what you want to be happening.
Mm-hmm.
That is not what's happening.
Okay.
That is not even remotely what's happening. No, this is specifically geared at first toward service animals. And the idea is to allow us to outfit them with little vests.
All right. That's already adorable.
Little vests.
Yeah.
That have, a series of a little dog UI on them. I don't want to start something here, but it is actually powered by an Arduino.
They use a little Arduino
uh-huh. to power these.
So
these
Arduinos
circuits.
Are to help animals talk.
No, it's just a microprocessor. It's really all it is.
Last week they were making socks with them. I don't understand.
So these are little UIs that dogs can use to activate things. They're like pull tabs or little.
What do you mean by U? Yeah, by UI. You're clearly just saying what the article said to you, because
right.
I would never hear you say UI. So what do you mean?
It's a way for the dog to interact with the vest so that it can initiate a process on the vest. So if let's say you have a service dog,
like click and hold,
exactly.
You like drag things around on
the
vest.
It's a magical device. This vest is a magical device. Never before has a dog been able to just simply bark. Do dogs look adorable? Sure. But do they need something adorable? Maybe not. So it literally, it's
totally lost on his audience.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't even care. Johnny Ive means nothing to them.
Yeah.
So you're talking about these are things they could, like a button they could push with their nose, a rope they could yank.
Yeah,
at.
It's more like it's a little like a stretchable thing or a biteable thing or a yankable thing that the dog can like turn its head, grab onto and pull with its mouth and activate some sort of process, which will then deliver pre-recorded messages or activate a GPS device or do some sort of thing. So,
all right. So we just made a bop it for a dog.
We made a dog bop it.
You can make a bop it for a dog and give
bop
it 10 times.
Twist it. Grab it.
Okay, boy. Okay, boy. But what are you trying to say?
Bop it.
Okay. I get bop it, but
twist it.
No, but is there something you're trying to, you seem really worried.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You seem really worried. Is there something you're trying to tell me? What is it, boy?
Bop it.
No. God damn it.
Twist it.
So no, this would be something like my master's in trouble, or
yes.
If they pulled the GPS, it's like an emergency alert GPS.
Right. So the idea is you outfit these service dogs. So you have like an example that they give is an epilepsy dog. So this is a dog.
These are dogs that we specifically give epilepsy to because we're horrible people.
We're cruel.
Yeah.
But when you see them shake their coat dry, it is adorable.
Nope.
No, so these are specifically trained dogs that people who go into epileptic seizures, The dog recognizes that. It will actually nudge its owner into a seated position so it's safer, and it will lick its face to try to wake him up.
I can't imagine, like, I can just imagine my dog. I have, like, this tiny little Pomeranian. You couldn't train my Pomeranian to be an epilepsy dog.
No.
Because my dog would try to, like, sit you up, and it would just be pushing with all its might.
As you just die, slowly die from
you. Like, yeah, it's just like trying to nudge you up with all 8 pounds of its body weight. It's pure muscle.
We really should
have muscle.
We should have picked a different dog for that.
Well, okay, so they.
So anyway, so the idea is instead of doing all that stuff, or in addition to doing all that stuff, I suppose, it would also, you know, twist its head, yank a cord on its vest.
Stop it.
And yeah, and there would be a, you know, or it could like run to someone else and activate this thing, and it'd be like, my master is in danger. Please follow me. Would be like this pre-recorded message.
Dog runs up to you and that happens. Do you trust it?
Oh, I don't know, man.
Like,
dog
that's
pranks.
Weird. Like, that's
dog
weird.
Pranks they, are real.
Dog pranks are so real. I've known so many people that have fallen for so many sick dog pranks.
Oh, yeah. You like, it pull you into an alley and then you're there and all it wants you to do is bop it just forever. You're like, ah, so, oh, come on, dog.
I don't know. A dog walks up to me with a vest on, pushes a button, and it goes, my master is in danger, follow me.
Yeah.
I probably think I'm being inducted into some sort of secret society of super scientists.
Well, yeah, that would be
right?
Awesome.
Like,
I'd be so disappointed to just get there and see some guy having a you know,
oh, I guess I can
emergency.
Help save this guy's life. Yeah. Oh, wait. Oh, all right. It's just some dude who swallowed his tongue, I guess. Fine. But I was really hoping for like a George Clooney Tomorrowland sort of scenario.
Yeah.
I don't know that I would. I'd be like, what? And like, that dog would have to push that button 8 times.
Yeah, there's like a whole series of different knobs and twists on its thing. No. It's like, no, seriously, my master's in danger.
I understand that this seems a little out of the ordinary. It might be hard to cope with. But I assure you that what's happening is real.
Yeah, I don't really have time for this right now, dog. I'm sorry.
I understand your incredulity.
Yeah.
But time is really of the essence.
No, I'm walking over to, you know, I got things to do. I have a whole shopping list and I
promise you that this is very important and that I am not just a dog that doesn't understand what's going on.
Listen, I got fooled by this one time. I signed a petition outside of the Trader
Joe's.
Listen,
motherfucker, we are going to find my master.
All right, calm down, dog.
Twist it. I fell for a dog prank.
Damn dog pranks. Not only are they trying to outfit dogs with stuff like this, they're working on it for dolphins, other kinds of animals.
Yo, a dolphin in a vest is a pretty sweet thing to picture.
Pretty sweet, yeah.
Like, I like the idea of a dolphin in a vest.
It's a bigger, much larger vest. You need a bigger Arduino for that,
I think. Do they have bigger Arduinos? Do they come in more than one size?
It's just a microprocessor. You can make
Then why would it be in different size? I don't understand.
Because it's a dolphin this time, obviously. Yeah.
I do not understand technology.
My favorite sentence in this entire article is, it says, they're working on them for humans, dolphins, and they're even developing sensors that monitor horses to broadcast signs of... I can't even say it without laughing. I'm sorry. Horses with sensors to broadcast signs of impending lameness. Impending lameness.
I just walk by a horse and it's like, whoop, 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 whoop. All right, I get it, horse.
No, it's like, I'm a horse and I think Die Hard 5 is the best Die Hard.
Oh, lame, whoop,
lame horse.
Whoop, whoop. It's just a horse fitted with a complex system of sensors that walks around over, like, listening to other people's conversations. Like, that's it. It's just like, yeah, so, we basically just, you know, we spent most of Saturday at IKEA. We were really looking to find some new shelves to go in the foyer.
Lame, 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 lame. Whoa. I didn't want to say it, but that horse is, you know, it's kind of reading my mind.
Oh, okay. Well, what did you do this weekend?
I went over to Rick's place and, I was hoping maybe I could, ask his mom out on a date. Lame, lame, lame. Lame.
then a second Shetland pony walks up next to it. Creepy, 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 creepy.
You bring your horse around, just walk, parade your horse through people.
Just a lone gunslinger, a drifter on the plains.
Yeah,
he's never said a word, but he and his trusty steed always seem to be around when they are most needed.
Yeah,
I think, you know, my pa wants me to take over the ranch, but I don't think I want to do that. I think I'm just gonna work as a farmhand on this other guy's ranch. Because, you know, he's got a bigger ranch.
Well,
and I don't know if I'm ready. I don't want the responsibility of owning a ranch.
Well, Jethro.
Lame! 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 Lame!
Oh, that mysterious stranger's horse is making some strange noises.
All right, well, that ain't none of my business. I'm just saying that. Who wants to own all that land and deal with all that responsibility?
Lame, 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 so fucking lame, lame,
all I want to do is just, you know, work my day's work and have a drink and go to bed.
No, Jethro,
a simple life.
I think that makes a whole lot of sense.
Lame, lame, you're both lame, 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 totally lame, lame.
And oh. A tinier pony is walking up next to that stranger's pony.
Boring, 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 boring.
And that's how he was. The stranger and his sidekick. Tonto. T-A-U-N-T-O. You get it? Because he would taunt you with his horse.
So in this situation, is the horse the sidekick?
Well, I was thinking the sidekick was riding the smaller Shetland pony that you referenced. You could go either way. You really could go either way. As long as his name...
You left out a lot of vital information.
I did.
I
got
up,
the name.
Leading up to a really bad pun.
Tonto.
Yeah.
Come on, that was a good one.
Lame! 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 Lame!
So, what do you think about this? I feel like this is a really clumsy attempt to get to the Doug thing. We want to be able to sort of crack the code and communicate to our animals in a more direct way, but it doesn't feel like this is
the way. We've had all these apps and little accessories and appliances and electronic devices that are supposed to tell you what your dog is thinking or saying. Like, I've seen 100 of these things.
Yeah.
I think the main problem with that, the main problem with getting to the Doug thing, is we are assuming that dogs and other animals understand, think, and process language in exactly the same way we do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So
yeah.
My dog may have a 200-word vocabulary. My dog may understand a bunch of regular phrases. Does my dog understand those phrases in term of cause and effect, or does it understand the meaning of the words? If I string those 200 words together differently, does my dog still understand their meaning? Are they processing language? So are we able to even get to the Doug thing?
Right. Is what's happening in their brain cognitive thought, or is it call and response?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Or is it cognitive, but it's they just do it in a completely different way than we do.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is it a language thing that's done differently? So I is the Doug thing possible? Who knows? Is turning every little dog into Dick Van Dyke from Mary Poppins the best intermediate answer?
Lame. Lame.
Yeah. Just put more crap on the dog.
Yeah, I don't know. I see the value in this. Mm-hmm. And if it's something that can be done consistently and easily and it's easy to train the dog to do it, then why not? Right?
Right. Like, well, they say it's actually remarkable how quickly the dogs adapt to the interface. Mm-hmm. That they, there was one example that they used about the fact that it was designed to be a touch sensor for their nose, but they quickly learned that all they had to do was swipe their nose in front of it and it worked. Mm-hmm. And so the dogs like adapted and it became a like this gesture interface instead of a touch interface. Even though the designers didn't intend that to happen.
Oh.
It's kind of cool. Like, the dogs are like, no, all I have to do is just swipe my nose and it gets the same thing done.
That's because Dogs is lazy. I can tell you that. Dogs is super lazy. My dog, if you tell it to do a trick, it's always trying to figure out what the least amount of effort is to exert to do that trick.
Well, and then the annoying thing is when it leaps right to the trick, you know, it's like, I'll just do the trick. Let me just do the trick right away.
That's
like,
gotta be the hardest thing.
I didn't ask for the trick yet, bro.
That's gotta be the hardest thing with training service dogs. And I've had a couple of friends who've trained them, and I haven't really asked them as much about it as I think I probably should. I am interested in the process, but like everybody holds up a treat. Like, you know, if you've trained a dog, you hold up a treat and the dog will go through every single trick it knows.
Right. Lay down, roll over, sit up. What do you want?
What? Give me. I did all of them. I anticipated your every request.
Yeah.
Like,
okay. All right. I'll pull the thing. My master's in trouble. Please follow me.
No.
My master's in trouble. Please follow me. Oh my God.
No. Twist it.
Pop it.
Pull it. What do you want from me? I've done all of them. I've done the twist it. I've done the bop it.
Well, that's another thing that, I mean, I guess people already trust these service animals implicitly with their lives. And to know that, you know, I guess, you know, for example, a seeing eye dog is trusted with knowing whether to pull you across the street or not.
Sure.
And we trust them. So I guess there would be no trust issues here in
no,
the sense.
No. I don't think it's a trust issue. I'm just interested in the process of teaching them to do it. That's all.
Right.
I just want to know what that's like.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's cool. Man, I'll tell you what. If we give dogs a vest that you can just push it and your GPS is sent to like medical and the authorities and all that.
Yeah.
That means that dog has quicker access to emergency services than I do through my smartphone.
It's true.
If I'm looking at my phone right now and it's like, if I felt like I was passing out,
yeah,
I don't have a one touch contact the authorities.
It sucks when the dog has
here's where I am, send it. Like, I don't
the dog
have
has
that.
To unlock its vest before I can use it. Like,
yeah.
What's the dog's 4-digit code?
Yeah,
it's like
dog.
Paw, paw, nose.
And then paw, nose, swipe. All right, now go into emergency contacts. All right, now go to send my location, drop pin. All right, send. And just the dog looks over. I'm like dead. Aww. No, okay, I just got to do one more thing. I just got to, okay, then I hit the send. Then I
lame.
Shut up, horse. I'm saving him as fast as I can.
That horse is a dick.
You know, and I can imagine a future where this interface or we learn as we build this thing, we learn the way that dogs respond to it. We learn how to build a better interface for dogs, right?
Well, that's really what she's talking about here. This Melody Jackson person, she actually did a TED talk about it. And she said, really what they're learning is what are the best UIs for dogs? Like what works? They said they ran through a whole bunch that just got chewed up. They're like, oh, well, we can't make them like this because the dog chews it. So we can't do that. So, you know, they're basically learning what crap to stick in a dog vest that best is used by dogs.
Well, and I can see this moving towards a future where the technology is so simple that maybe the dog just has to sort of, you know, almost like the prosthetic arms they're making now that understand when somebody, like just through the tension of the skin, and little electrical signals of the skin understand when somebody is trying to make their robotic arm give you the middle finger, right?
Right.
And it can do it.
Yeah.
I can imagine a future where we put one of these vests on dogs and we train them or we look at their emotional responses to certain situations, and then it becomes like they don't even have to pull, twist, do whatever. They can actually like make the vest say, help, my master needs help whenever they need to, you know?
But why can't we just cut out the middleman and build sensors that know when I'm having an epileptic seizure? You know, like, let's remove the dog from the situation. Can't we do that?
I think Arduinos only work on dogs.
Is that how that is?
I don't know. I'm bluffing.
Yeah,
I don't know what
clearly.
An Arduino does.
Well, clearly, what we have learned is that dogs know more about Arduinos than you do.
Well, they use them more than I do, or do they? Because does this have an Arduino in it?
No, that's a mouse for a computer. I mean, you could build an Arduino that is, but that's just muddying the point, really.
Anyway, do you guys think this is a good idea?
Do you think
that it's a little Rube Goldberg?
Is it maybe a little
too complicated? Have we missed an easier way to do
what
this?
What we do is, see, the dog has to leap through a hoop, run up this this ramp, jump into the water, retrieve this ball, and then it's saved.
Let us know how you feel about this. You can send it to us on Twitter. I'm at @acarboni.
I'm at Jeff Cannata.
You can hashtag those bop it, obviously. And hey! It's a new year.
Oh my gosh. Welcome to 2016, everybody.
2016, it's a whole new thing, you guys. It's going to be different than 2015 in so many ways.
Yeah. Not in the ways in which we will ask you for things at the end of the show.
No, these are going to be exactly the same.
Yeah.
If you've been listening to the show for a while, maybe you've been listening to the show since 2014 when we started the show.
Oh my gosh, has it been that long?
Can you believe it?
The halcyon days of 2014.
If you've been getting a lot of enjoyment out of the show and you are wondering how this show continues to happen, how do we keep making it?
I wonder that. Yeah. How does this show continue to happen?
How do these dudes keep doing this every week? The answer is we do it entirely through the support of patrons over at patreon.com/wehaveconcerns.
Yeah, that is the only way we fund the show. It's awesome. It allows us to have direct contact with our audience, and it allows you to give us value for the value that we hopefully provide in return.
So head over to patreon.com/wehaveconcerns. Give $1, $5, $10. You get a bunch of different extra things that we only give to patrons, like special bonus episodes with our guests, early release episodes, and video hangouts every month with me, Jeff, and the We Have Concerns patron community. patreon.com/wehaveconcerns.